And I'm now going to hand over to David, who's going to finish off with our final section.
So, first of all, I'd like to thank Annie for extracting out such useful insights from all of the startup founders and VCs that we have here today. Lots of great information for that. So, quick round of applause for Annie. And now I would like to introduce my colleague, Christopher Menu. Christopher and I work in the same group at Microsoft, which is the Cloud Advocates Group. And so now, for just a few minutes, I just want to pick Christopher's brain from his background with some tips that he might have so we can keep this a learning experience. So let's sit down as we chat, Christopher. Let's get started. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Microsoft?
Sure. So as you said, I'm part of the Cloud Advocacy Team. So the Cloud Advocacy Team is basically making connections between external developers and our own engineering teams. So we come to events to do tech talks, we come to events to do workshops, etc. We write content online, video tutorials, etc. And also we are trying to listen to developers, understand their pain points, and then going back to the engineering teams, finding the right product team, and pass along that feedback to eventually change the product so it will be better for you in the next shipping.
And as you're working with developers, what kind of companies are you typically working with?
I'm working directly with developers. So basically, as you are a developer, you can be in academic learning how to code. You could be working for a Fortune 500 company or startups, whatever. As soon as you're a developer, we can talk.
Okay. And speaking of startups, you worked for some startups before you joined Microsoft. Is that right?
Yeah. So I joined Microsoft more than 2.5 years ago, and I spent more than 5 years working with different startups. One of them is not well known outside the US, but it's quite well known in France, was Deezer, worldwide music streaming service. So I spent 4 years, more than 4 years at Deezer. I joined Deezer with 50 employees. When I left, they were more than 450. In 4 years.
That's some big growth.
So yeah, it's quite an impressive growth. And for other startups, before that, Melty and helping startups on a smaller time range.
Okay, that's great. So Christopher is here to share with us three things he'd wish he'd known. Can you tell us, before we get into that, what kind of problems that you saw or you've seen other startups experience that you might be able to help with?
So as a developer and then an engineering lead, I witness a lot of issue, and even if all of them could be solved by some tech, basically they belong to three different categories. First one is tech issue. Obviously, I'm a developer, so I have a lot of technical issues, but also from a product point of view and a people point of view. In early stages of startups, sometimes you don't have a product group or product people, you don't have PM, etc. You basically is a developer and sales, and you have to do something, build a product, and so it could be complicated to have this product role within an early stage startup.
Okay. And is that one of the things that you wish you'd known before?
Yeah. So one of them about the product is measure what you can very early. For example, at Deezer, so we have built an experience when you're a newcomer on the platform, you create your account, and then as Deezer is highly based on recommendations, we recommend you some new releases to listen to, etc. But the fact is when you create your profile, we don't have any history about you, your musical taste, etc. So we cannot build any recommendation out of that. So we have created an experience which is like Tinder, but for music. So basically, we show you some artists, and you like or dislike it. And when we build it for the Windows Phone app, we didn't have the engineering resources to do the full experience. So basically, you can have some artists, you can swipe, but you can listen to an extract. If you don't know the artist from the picture or from the name, but you just want to hear the music and say, oh, yeah, I like this music. We didn't have the time to build that feature in a sprint. So we built the first part of the feature, and we released it, and we added metrics. So we had full-blown metric system, but the fact is you can build a metric system with a lot of tools. You can have just an Elasticsearch and put events onto it, or even a SQL database if you have not so much events, or we have services in Azure to do that as well. And the fact is, we witness when we release a full feature that actually having the music, which seems to be a better experience, was in fact hurting our KPIs. So our KPIs for this is the number of data points we get. So if we have much more artists, we can build a better recommendation because we have much more data on you. So our KPI was the number of artists we get from you outside of after the experience. And we witnessed that if you're listening to the music abstracts, in fact, you will like or dislike less artists. So it was a counterintuitive decision, but because we had metrics in place, we were able to roll out into the a new version of the feature.
So, as you said, like by measuring this information, did that then lead to other features within the app, perhaps with the goal of introducing people to more artists?
So what we've done out of that is we have created different music recommendation algorithm. We have created, at the beginning, we were only one music recommendation system, and then we built a separate music recommendation system based on the number of items we got from you. So for example, if you are just starting to use the app and we have like only 20 artists to like or dislike, we will use a specialized music recommendation system, which will also include information about your profile, because you know that if you're young and a woman and in France, you're likely to, and this is your test, you're likely to like these other artists. And when you have much more data on you, we use more advanced recommendation system.
Okay, that's great. So your first thing you wish you'd known then is about measure more information. What's another thing you wish you'd known before you came into this?
The second thing was about people. And I would like to ask a quick question. How many of you have into your current startup or current company a hiring problem? Having difficulties to hire engineers? Yeah. Oh. Ah, okay. So we spend a lot of time trying to hire engineers, etc. And then they come up. And that's it. We don't spend so much time onboarding them. We have terrible onboarding process in most of the companies, or processes that are very outdated. And for developers, it's how much time does it take to a new developer to set up his dev environment, to have access to all the development environments, and to actually push code into production, even a small fix, but being able to, you know, go through all the steps from QA testing, product validation, and going into production. And we have fabulous tools today to accelerate that part. Even if most of the onboarding job is about creating a sense of belonging, and it's mainly done by the team and by how you welcome the new people, but the sense of accomplishment, which is, I think, one of the other parts of creating great onboarding experience, could be really improved by using tools like Visual Studio Code Remote Extensions, which is a new tool we added on top of Visual Studio Code, Wallow, to get all your development environments within a Docker container and basically connecting all your experience from Visual Studio within that container. So basically, when a new developer comes into a team, he can just check out the Git repository, open it in Visual Studio Code, and within minutes, he gets all the environment set up and he can access to, he can rewrite code and execute this on his own machine.
Yeah. But as a startup, I mean, there's always this pressure, right? We need to develop faster. We need to get out to market faster. How do you balance that pressure with this investment that you're talking about making with developers, providing them with tools and processes to get them on board as opposed to day one get coding?
It's an interesting question. When I started to lead V4 to redo all the onboarding at Deezer, one of my metrics was the number of hours any developer was employed. So the first hours, and then the number of hours to get code put to production. And the idea is not, At the beginning, the idea was to reduce that amount in less than 8 hours, so basically push code to production into day one. But then you need to learn the product, you need to have a sense of belonging. So it's not happening, it's not because you push code into production that you feel part of the team. It's because you build something with the team, it's because you hang out with the team, etc. So we've done a lot of things to automate everything we can, but also create experience and moments within the team.
Okay. So, and that applies to your first point as well, like not just for the product, but for the development process as well. Measure all the things.
Yeah. Okay. So we had few system in place. Like after the week one, we have a short survey about how do you feel on the team and what is what else you know. Something surprised you sometimes when you join a company. When I joined Microsoft, I was surprised that some things went very, very fast at the beginning. I got a ton of things done and a ton of access on day one. And at the same time, there is a lot of mess because there is a lot of employees, a lot of teams doing a lot of things. When I joined Microsoft, I work on chatbots, and I discover every week I was discovering a new team that was doing chatbots. And it seems crazy not to have a single page. Here is a team in Microsoft France who are doing chatbots. So that kind of things, as a new employee, you say to yourself, but if you, as a company, have a way to grab this content and then make it into a continuous improvement system, you can get better and better.
Okay. So we have measure all the things. We have provide developers with processes and tools to help them be productive. What's the third thing you should know?
The third thing I was is about tech. So at Deezer, we had that syndrome of building everything ourselves. So no framework, no everything. We created our own servers. We ran the space in a data center, configuring our own internet routers and creating our own stack from the bottom. It served us well up to a certain point. So we've been able to grow to like 5 million users with less than 100 computers, including the Hadoop cluster, including all the development machine, etc., which is quite
impressive.
That's quite a good number. Because we manage everything, so we've been able to put optimization on all the way down. Yeah. But
does that scale?
No, that's the issue. And when we recruit a developer, so most of Deezer is done in PHP. And when you recruit a PHP developer and you say, hey, so yeah, we don't use Laravel, Symfony, Zend framework, etc. We have built our own internal PHP framework. We have no documentation, so you will pair with another developer and spend like 3 to 6 months to understand what we have done with our own PHP framework, and then you can get productive. But the fact is, most of PHP developers just leave. We've gone through the transformation of going from our own framework to Symfony framework. It took us with like 5 full-time engineers only dedicated to that migration thing about 2 years. To migrate from our own framework to Symfony framework, and then we've been able to scale up the development team and integrate more easy new developers. Yeah.
So how do you know when it's the right time to transition from this tools and environment that you've built yourself onto these other frameworks? When can you tell that it's time to do that?
I would say, unless you have very, very specific reasons, do it on day one. Today we have a lot of tech. We can talk about PaaS services, etc. But we have a lot of tech with already built in. Just build your product on top of it. Most of the company are not doing tech for sake. They are doing tech for solving a business issue. And as a tech, we tend to spend too much time on the tech thing and not on the product thing.
Right. So infrastructure early is what you.
Yeah.
Okay. So just in the interest of, in the same way we talked to the other people today about, you know, what is the one thing, the one learning that you'd like to share with the audience, is it one of these three or is it something else?
Yeah, I would choose the one of these three, and I would choose the people story because as I said, even if you have made wrong choices or choices that are not relevant for your own today environment and context, you can still do things. But the fact is, if you haven't hired the right people, and we said that earlier with other speakers, have the right people and onboard them and create a sense of belonging and have a great team, then you can shift your product, you can shift your tech, etc., more easily because you have the team, because you have the bonding within the people from the team.
That's right. I think that's what we've heard from all the speakers today, is that it's all about the people. So thank you for sharing your thoughts with us today, Christopher.
Thank you.